curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything, Mr. Curiosity.
All right, folks, here we are, Mr. Curiosity, episode number 2. I am Joe Snedeker. I am curious about things, especially this thing today, the great, the local legend, Tom Clark. Whether you grew up in the 80s, 90s, thousands, you're still around, you got to be curious about this guy as a part of everyone's life. And I sat down to talk with Tom for a good 40 minutes. His life, his history, he tells good stories about vacuum cleaners, sequence jumpsuits, being in a rock band, studying at college. I mean, this is deep in depth and informative. You're going to love it. I loved it. It was not at all fake or programmed or canned in. This was the real deal, folks. So sit back, get on your bike, get out your walking shoes, and have a good time listening to my conversation with the great, the one and only, Tom Clark.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything, Mr. Curiosity.
All right, folks, it's happening. This is it. The one, the only, the legend, my idol, my hero, Tom Clark.
Joe, it's you.
It's good to be here.
Good to be here.
Folks, yes. This is not fake enthusiasm. This is a man crush. I love this man. He changed my life, and he's right here in front of me.
It's great to be here. Yep.
And I forgot what you already just told me moments ago. It's been how long since you retired here from WNEP?
That's close to 2 years.
What was it? What was the exact date?
Oh, man.
Was it December of 17?
It was. The end of the year.
Isn't that weird?
2 years ago. The last day of December was my last day. We did a little thing in the backyard.
Oh, yeah, we had fun. Yeah. Remember I got you those nice little presents? I hope they're still displayed in your house.
They are. I got to dust them off, I guess, a little bit, but they look great. They're still there.
A picture of you and me together and right? A couple other things.
And so, a few other things. A montage of photographs.
Yeah.
Still have them on display.
I don't do that for everyone.
I know that. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. All right. Yep. Well, what I wanted to get, I guess, into, because I know a little bit about your past. But it's very interesting. So we start out with the little baby Tom Clark born outside of Philadelphia, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Where
are
we?
Drexel Hill, suburb of Philadelphia.
So I'm trying to picture where that is. If you're in the guts of Philly, the bowels of Philly, where is Drexel Hill?
It's a suburb.
Okay.
With lawns and sidewalks and trees.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And it was the house with the weather instruments up on the roof, okay? That's the one. The only one in the neighborhood.
All right.
But yeah, it's a suburb. It's about maybe 20 minutes out of the city.
All right. So you grow up. You're a young Tom Clark. You're in elementary school. You're in middle school.
Right.
Who are your parents? What are they doing? What do they do for a living?
My dad passed away probably about 7 years ago.
Okay.
He lived to be 92.
Yikes.
My mom is still living. She is 92. And she's living with us, with Noreen.
Right now.
She's living at home with us. Yep. So I'm taking care of mom, and that's going well. You know, she's easy to care for.
So what did mom and dad do for a living back then?
Well, my dad was a printer.
Oh.
He worked in the printing business. It was his Clark Printing House.
The stuff that's coming at us right now.
Big sign on the side of the building, Clark Printing House in
Philadelphia. Get out of here. Now, what kind of printing? Everything signed?
Yearbooks, reports.
No.
Things like that, yeah.
Well, who started this?
My grandfather.
No.
Yeah. From Scotland. He had the business, he immigrated from Scotland and had the business up in the Boston area and moved up to Philadelphia.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
So here's a guy in Scotland. Let's go back 100 years maybe. I don't know.
Yep. Alfred.
He comes to the United States.
Yep.
Your grandfather.
My dad was born in Scotland and he brought dad over.
No way.
When he was a little boy.
And they go from Boston to Philly. Why Philly? Yeah. Do you know?
An opportunity that showed up.
Yeah. Okay. You know, so there you are.
So I have a lot of Scottish blood in me, you should know.
So thriving business, Philadelphia, here we are in the 1950s, 60s, whatever.
60s, yep. I worked there for a little while.
As a high school kid?
Yeah. Yeah, in the press room.
Get out of here.
Yeah, worked on some of the presses and things like that. It was a good business. I mean, it was letterpress back then, letterpress. Today it's like computerized.
It's all
computerized, so... But he had a thriving business for many years.
Well, it's funny how this kind of stuff works. My dad was a golfer, and I think in the back of his head, without telling me, he wanted me to be a golfer, and it never stuck with me. I didn't like golfing at all. So I'm wondering with you, did he think, okay, Tom's going to take over the business? And then here you are walking around with anemometers instead.
Yeah.
Is it something like that?
He may have deep down inside hoped that I would move into the business.
Yeah.
But the business eventually shut down.
Okay.
The unions came in.
70s,
and 80s? Sort of broke it up. Late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So you're already a youngster. You're on your way through life.
Yeah, probably thought weather somehow, being in the business of weather. Yeah.
So your
dad knew my passion for that.
Yeah. Obviously.
I always tell people it called us, right? We didn't necessarily choose it. It chose us. Like, I had no choice in this weather thing.
I think you grow up with weather as a hobby. You're kind of a geek at 5 years old with weather.
Yeah, it pulls you in. It's not like you choose it. It's like, okay, I'm following the light. But so your dad sells the business. He's walking around with gobs of money. He's retired. He's got young Tom Clark. Tom Clark's now interested in college. And are we there yet?
We're not in college yet. I had a couple of jobs after high school before I went back to college.
Oh.
Went to college.
So you're not working.
I worked in retailing for a while in the printing business
for a
number of years. Did a little retailing.
Get out of here.
Yep. And I sold swimming pools one summer.
You did not.
I did.
So you're the pool guy?
See, Joe, you never knew this.
I wanted to do this. And that's why, folks, I'm not being fake. I don't know a lot of this stuff. I wanted to keep it real.
Swimming pool salesman, yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Okay, I want a pool.
Yep.
You knock on my door.
Above ground pools.
Here comes Mr. Clark. What do you say to me?
Well, I'm in the office. They come to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We want a pool. Here's what you need. These are all the materials. And
get out of here.
You set it up. Yeah.
So that. I don't. So, and then you were probably there. You were discouraged. You weren't enthusiastic. It's just.
Yeah, I kind of wondered. Had a job just to, you know, fill the tank with gas and spending money. And
but what do you know? 2021 when this is all happening? 22?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep. So eventually, Joe, what happened was my parents, God love my parents, because without them, I certainly wouldn't have had the success I had in broadcasting because. I went back to school to start studying meteorology. And I was about maybe 23, 24 years old. Played on the tennis team at Delaware County Community College.
But wait, this is very interesting. There's not too many students. You started your college career that late. I didn't know that.
Later.
So you have 3-4 years of post-high school trying to find a job, doing this, doing that.
Yeah, always had a job.
Yeah, I guess
one
I don't
to the
mean
other,
trying.
You know. Maybe I was unemployed for a couple of months, but always had a job.
Were you a weather geek during all those years?
Yes.
Like you were 17, 15, 19, 20.
Yep. Weather instruments, stuff on the roof, backyard. Always had that interest.
Well, may I ask then why, like, you're a senior in high school and you didn't think, okay, this is what I'm going to do? Like, why didn't that connect?
Well,
I wonder.
Yeah. It just didn't happen right away.
Interesting.
I guess I wasn't really digging deep into schools that had meteorology at that point.
I see, right. And it probably wasn't that big of a career back then, too, right? Correct? I mean, now it's like the thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, broadcasting wasn't as glamorous.
Yeah.
You worked
for
the government, you know, in an office with a couple of windows. But eventually it came to where I re-enrolled in school. I started at a community college.
In the Philadelphia area?
Yeah, Delaware County Community College.
Excellent.
Went there for about a year and a half.
Okay.
Worked my butt off to get the grades because I was hoping to transfer to Penn State.
Oh, okay. So you had a grand plan.
My initial start, that first day of class was, I'm going to study meteorology. I want to become a meteorologist.
Is that right?
So God love my parents. They supported me all the way. I was spoiled with their support. Both, you know, mentally, physically, and financially.
Tommy, and that's such a good point because I must admit the same exact thing. Whatever I said I wanted to do, and it was always science and meteorology, my parents like, great, we'll buy you a barometer. Great, we'll get you this. Great. We had parents that I guess a lot of people on this planet, they're steered by others, and that's terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, my parents helped me. They bought weather instruments for me for Christmas and stuff, books.
Yeah, same with me.
I still have the books. Merry Christmas, Tom, 1970, you know? Weather book. Weather book.
So if there's any parent out there listening now, don't put anything in your kids' heads. Let them decide, right?
Yeah,
and you encourage it and
foster
it. But
once you see, once the parents see what's in their son or daughter's intentions or passions,
right?
Help them out with it.
Help them out.
Yeah.
Because in a way
give them a little guidance, give them a little support.
Yeah.
buy them a, you know, buy them a book, buy them a, an instrument, weather or whatever. But
you got to follow your bliss.
In this case, my parents sent me back to school.
All right. Well, you're following your bliss, and you knew they knew that.
Oh, yeah, they knew that. And right, they saw the grades I got, too, and they knew, this guy's serious.
Okay, good. So you're in community college. You're kicking butt.
Kicking butt. Playing on the tennis team.
Playing on the tennis team. The women are going crazy over you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, I know you are a rock and roller like me, so also that's a part of it. Are you?
Yeah, I was in a band.
Do you want to give us the year now? Because I'm trying to put this all in perspective.
Before I went back to school, I was in a band. A rock and roll band.
So this is what year are you?
When
doing?
I was having those jobs in between high school and going back to
community. You're in a band.
I was in a band.
The drummer. See, I knew that because I've seen you play singer too.
I always loved drums. I had drums at the house too. Had a set of drums because I love playing the drums. You know.
See, I can't do that. He can do that. I can't do that.
So, that was a gig, a stint in my life.
Tennis team.
That
community
my parents probably didn't approve of. You know,
rock and roll.
Make $1 million. You know.
Well, back then, wasn't rock and roll the work of the devil?
Yeah. But there I was going to rehearsal, taking my drums.
Do you want to give us a band name back then, or no? You don't have a name.
Dressed to Kill.
The band name was Dressed to Kill.
Dressed to Kill.
That's actually.
I remember one gig. I wore a jumpsuit. I mean, a sparkly jumpsuit.
It was
like pretty wild. Yeah. See, Joe, you never knew that.
This is why we're doing this. Mr. Curiosity is finding all this out. I love it.
So that was it. I love playing the drums. To this day, I'd still like to get a drum set.
Wow.
But I don't think Noreen would approve of that too much.
Folks, he's in a band. He's on the tennis team. He's going to college. And then is it less band, more academics?
Absolutely. Well, the band thing, that didn't last.
Okay. You know,
that was like maybe 6 months.
All right.
But yeah. The intention at community college was to transfer to Penn State.
And that happened?
It happened.
Ooh. And now it's the 70s. I don't know.
Before I got my degree, being a senior, was with a student, a fellow student, and he had a private forecasting service.
Okay.
And I go,
at Penn State?
Yeah.
You met this guy?
Yep. I met him through Campus Weather Service, which was a volunteer service where students could volunteer their time to broadcast the weather on local radio stations. So it was a great activity for students to get involved in broadcasting. And so they had this club, this activity at Penn State, and we all signed up one night, and I saw his name on the Monday night slot.
Didn't know.
Because I knew he was the guy that could do the forecast at any time of the day, because he was always abreast of the data, and he had his business.
So he was a Penn State meteorology student too?
Yeah.
And a businessman?
Yes.
So and
we
hooked up with
we
this
teamed
guy.
Up. I hooked up with him, and we had our business. It was called Total Weather.
And you're at Penn State as a senior, or you're graduating?
Right. And we're feeding weather forecast to clients in the attic of our apartment.
Whoa.
Making money.
Whoa, they're paying you to
deliver
the forecast.
Sending out the invoices forecast. Every month. And one of our clients I would send an invoice to was WNEP.
No.
Because one of his clients was this station, Channel 16.
And I imagine whoever was doing the weather here then was not a scientist, was just a broadcaster.
Correct.
So they
he's
needed
a nice guy. He's a great guy. We'd send Jay Christopher.
Oh, it was Jay Christopher. Being
the weather.
He was the weather guy.
Hey, Jay,
here's
where to put the high. Here's where to put the low, the cold front. It's coming through tonight. The rain's ending at midnight.
This was all done over the phone?
Yes. We would brief Jay every day.
Wow. I wonder what other stations did at the time. Is that like the standard thing? They would get it from a source?
Because
there's no AccuWeather.
They might have rip and read. You know,
you get it from the National Weather Service.
Yeah.
Put someone in the backyard, usually a pretty girl.
But back then, they were starting to put meteorologists on the air for the credibility factor.
Yeah, but that was rare too, right? So you're at the beginning of this new trend, this new enterprise in TV where meteorologists are giving weather.
Correct. But that started, Doug was his name, Paul Douglas.
Oh, I knew that, but I didn't
Paul
know if
Douglas.
You wanted to say that. So Paul Douglas.
That was it. He was the one, and we roomed together and had the business, and he got the weekend weather job up here.
Well, wait, so he's...
He was the first meteorologist on the air here in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton.
So eventually, some manager here at NewsWatch 16 said, hey, instead of them giving us the weather through telephone calls, let's see if one of them can come up and do this.
Like, yeah, I guess there was just – I'm not sure of the circumstances for the opening on the weekends, but Doug obviously applied for it. He was good enough to get it. And I guess he went up and interviewed and got the weekend job.
And that was his first TV
gig. So every Saturday morning, he would drive from State College to Scranton.
Is that the Avoca Airport then, right?
Yeah, Avoca Airport. He would drive up.
Oh, my goodness.
He stayed at a hotel down there by the Wyoming Valley Mall every weekend.
Get out of here.
Did the weather Saturday and Sunday night.
And you're still at Penn State in the apartment.
Yeah, and we're still full-time students.
That's excellent. And I guess was born in 66. Mm-hmm. I remember him on the air here. So that must have been mid-late 70s.
Yep. Well, yep, late 70s. We both graduated in 1980. So, yeah, he was the first one.
Late 70s, early 80s. Wow.
Yeah. You know, we had the brief shower, did the weather in the backyard. But Doug was very clever, you know, like you, Joe. You know, very clever. This is something you haven't done. Paul's out there doing the weather, and he said to the anchor, we just had a brief shower here in the backyard. And the tree behind him is draped in underwear. I just remembered that. I just remembered that picture.
Is that true?
It's true.
He brought in underwear and
draped it on the evergreen behind him. I guess, just had a brief shower here in the backyard.
I guess now that's borderline creepy, but that's okay.
It was clean. The underwear was clean.
Okay. Oh, this is amazing. So
he got the weekend job, and then eventually, as time went on, we moved up. We moved the business up to Wilkes-Barre. I moved up with Paul. And we had an apartment in Wilkes-Barre.
So they must have said, management here at WNEP, let's get these guys every day of the week, not just weekends.
Well, an opportunity eventually came up for me to do the weekend weather. An opening came up. So I had to audition for it.
Well, where did he go? Why didn't he want that anymore?
He was full-time. Oh, he became full-time.
Oh, he became full-time Monday through Friday.
He became the chief, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, as time went by, you know, Paul moved on to a bigger station.
And here you are.
And here I am thinking, wow, maybe I can get the chief's position. Maybe. Yeah. I've had some experience doing the weekends. So eventually, Joe, what happened was I got the full-time position. I finally, you know, after so many auditions and
– Early 80s?
Because I was kind of green
at
broadcasting, you know.
So back then, who created the backyard set? Was that already established by management here?
Yes.
Or did you have a part in creating
that? Was established before Paul did the weekends. Jay Christopher was the first one to do
it. Oh, yeah, so he already had that outside. I see.
The general manager, Eldon Hale, was the first one to.
And he's the guy who said, let's do an outdoor set.
Backyard weather. They'd roll the camera out in the garage door, and they'd open a window on the garage door and aim the camera outside. So it worked.
You know? And I guess we didn't need 3, 4, 5 meteorologists then because, correct, there was no morning news? Maybe this was just evening news?
Just two.
Just evening and weekends.
6 and 11.
That's it, right? Simpler times, Monday through Friday.
The morning started pretty early on, a morning newscast.
And
it wasn't
then,
4:30. It was like 6:30,
yeah, right,
7 6:30. O'clock.
Yeah. But, and I know who that person was, Noreen. How did she enter the scene? Where did you meet her at Penn State?
We eventually... got married, you know, in
1982. Yeah, but did you meet her at Penn State?
I did.
You met her at Penn State?
I did. In a class called Natural Disasters. You're laughing.
I'm not going to insert a joke or anything.
No, please,
don't. So when you and Paul are doing the forecast from this apartment, and you're at Penn State, was she a student there at the same time? Did you meet her during that time in your life?
Yes, when we had the business.
Oh,
and she charmed her and gave her my business card.
I was going to say.
Total weather. Look.
I got to try that line. Oh, wait. I'm already married.
Do you have a business card? Keep them handy.
So now she, you decide let's use her too.
Yeah. Eventually, she auditioned so many times and got a part-time position. I think it was weekends. But she did the weather in the backyard at the original station for a number of years.
This is amazing. Then you're established. You got a full-time job at 16. 16 is the dominant station evolving through the 80s. You're the big guy here. You're walking around with a big fat wallet. You're getting married.
With a Sharpie.
With a Sharpie. Marriage comes in now, right?
Marriage, yep. We married when we were, you know, both working at the station,
okay,
doing the weather, yep.
Then before you know it, you build a house, you have a child.
Right.
Here comes the 90s.
Right. Still working. Here comes the 90s. Still working. New station. Then I remember moving up to the station.
That's right. That happened in the late 80s, 88, 89. We have this new station here.
When was that? That was late 80s.
I think late 80s.
Yeah. And so we moved up here, you know, raised our daughter, Kristen, and locally, and time went on.
And you became a legend. And I have to inject this, follow the timeline here. So now it's 1993. You get this package from a local science teacher, a young guy in his 20s, passion for meteorology
right. I got
background.
A package. I remember. We were looking for a guy to do the weekends or something.
And
I got this. It was more than just a letter. It was a package. And it was full of photographs. And they were supposed to be viewed in certain order. So look, wow, this guy's got all the stuff I had when I was a kid, you know?
So I could tell right away that you had the real passion.
And that was me.
That was you.
I had
Joe Snedeker from Carbondale?
Simpson, just outside of Carbondale. Yeah. So I was a science teacher for 4 years by then, and I have the meteorology background, and someone at work said, WNEP is looking for a weekend meteorologist. I think, who would have left then?
Boy, there was a number of people.
I can't think of the name. It's
Semino.
Semino.
Chris Semino.
I think it was Chris Semino had left.
Chris Semino.
And
yep.
I'm like, I never did any TV stuff, but I'm going to convince Tom. You were my idol, still are.
Yeah.
You were a TV presence. You seemed like a great guy, so I sent you this package. And wouldn't you know, folks.
That was one of quite a few
inquiries
we got to fill the position. But yours was kind of unique. It was different. And I went to management and pushed it.
And he pushed it because you knew there was a passion in this young 20-something guy.
Yeah, this guy.
So, folks, I got to tell you this. I come down to meet Tom Clark, the coolest, nicest, most understanding guy I ever met in my life, and he gave me this shot in the backyard. And you were talking about you being green. I was green. I was I was hard apple green. You know, it was like
– it was rough. Why was it so rough? Because we put a coat and tie on you. And I think it was rented. It was a clip-on tie. It was rented.
But
you did not look comfortable, Joe.
No,
okay?
I did not. I couldn't be myself. But eventually right. worked out, and you have been the most amazing boss ever in my whole life.
Ah, oh, Joe, thanks. Jeez. You know, I always enjoyed having you, you know, as a coworker.
Yeah, because you know.
Great conversations. But we talk more about just meteorology, astronomy and all that. And I was always into that, too, but.
Tom and I had this amazing overlap, rock and roll, meteorology, science, astronomy. So we really hit it off.
Right.
And I must say this about Tom, because he could have easily been the kind of guy to me like Snedeker. Really? You're dressing like that? Or really, you have clay heads in the backyard?
Yeah.
Really, you're bringing this in the backyard? But he was most understanding, compliant. You let me be me, and that's the secret to you. You're just a great understanding guy.
I just let you go with the flow with your shtick.
I don't
like that word, but
but you could have easily said, Snedeker, come on, stop it, get more serious, put a tie on. But I really respect that you did that for me. You're a great man.
Thanks. I did respect also the fact that you got into some of the meteorology in your presentation.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and I've seen some that worked here that really didn't do that.
Yeah.
And I said, come on, man, you got to have a little. Discussion.
Yes.
That. You can't. Give me some credibility. Tell me about what you know.
Yes.
Give me a little
spread
knowledge.
Spread the science. Get deep. Yeah. Get down and
even
dirty.
Even to this day, I don't hear a lot of it with many other weather forecasts.
I know. I think people naturally, yes, they want just the forecast, but it's natural human reaction to know why things happen.
And it only takes 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
To tell them why it's raining today.
Yes, you need to know the why. That's why I'm Mr. Curiosity.
Right.
But
I think a lot of people appreciate knowing that.
You got to know why.
Just give them 10 seconds of the time.
Yep.
And that's all. Just a little bit. Sprinkle it in.
Yep. Well, if it's almost like if you want to know the score of a baseball game or a football game, hey, who won the Super Bowl? Cowboys won, but why? There was a fumble at the last minute.
Correct.
And let's see the highlights. So you got to know why.
Touchdown pass.
Yeah, you don't want just information. You need... Yeah. The hows, whys, and the details.
Not
of
a lot of. Don't forget that quite a few people don't care about the hows and whys.
Right, you know, it's a fine balance.
When's it going to start raining?
Yep.
And when's it going to stop?
There's a fine balance. All right, so then. It's the 90s. I'm here. You're here. Noreen's here. Productive years. It's the 2000s. Your daughter, which is very rare indeed. You have to be one of the only families in the country where there's a husband meteorologist, a wife meteorologist, and a daughter meteorologist.
Because Kristen went to Penn State to study meteorology out of high school. And
That's got to be you. How many couples?
It's pretty rare.
That's got to be rare. I don't know if that exists anywhere.
First family of meteorologists. Yeah, it's pretty rare. It's very unusual.
Was your dog interested in meteorology?
Yeah, dogs are meteorologists. Yeah. Barks at thunder.
There it is.
I knew a storm was coming. I could hear barking in the other room. It's great.
All right.
Very accurate.
So then, okay, now we have to kind of close out, I guess, the Clark career. Now, that doesn't sound – I guess I don't want to have that sound bad, but
– No, that's okay. You know, the years went by, and Noreen was doing the weekends.
Yep.
And I was doing, you know, the
– weekdays.
Starting – came to be the noon through the 7.
The chief man.
I was doing like 6 shows a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which was great. I loved it. The day went so quick. I always loved what I did.
Yes.
You know, always loved what I did.
And it shows, and everybody loves you.
Yeah. Like you, you know.
So this is through the 90s into the 2000s. And then when do you think, okay, I'm going to pull back. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to travel. I don't have to work. I got enough socked away.
Well, that came upon me pretty suddenly.
Yeah.
Because management walked into the weather office and says,
"Uh-oh,
can you meet us down in the conference room?"
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh,
This is big. You know, general manager, news director. Here
right,
we go.
All
we're going to have a meeting.
Yeah.
So we met, and they told me about the company's decision to give some employees here buyouts.
So those that were at a certain age, those that have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, those.
Let's offer a buyout.
Those that have been here for more than 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah, a buyout. Because, you know, by then you're making too much money.
Yeah, right.
Your salary's so big.
Am I next?
Yeah, right.
But
this buyout, Joe, was like, I couldn't say no.
Right.
I had the benefits continued for a while.
Right.
And I was getting close to 65 years old.
Okay. Which you still look 45, by the way.
Thanks.
So it wasn't a sour meeting. It wasn't a sour departure.
No. I knew it was going to happen eventually because I was getting to my mid-60s.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 34 years. When and how is it going to end? But this is how it ended.
But if you were
I
left,
may have continued to work another year or two.
That was my question. So if they never had that meeting and you were just on your own rolling down the road.
Another year.
Yeah.
When I got to be 66, full retirement age, to you know, collect benefits and Social Security and all that.
Why not?
I probably would have hung up the thermometer at that point. You
know? Well, I know because it's not like a job for you. That's how I feel. You remember my motto that you used to laugh at? I think you have the same one. Like people go on vacation. Every day is a vacation for me. That's how I feel about my life. I love my job. I love being home. I love my dog. So that's kind of what you did, right?
That's
great. You just love coming to work.
To get paid for what you love to do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Do you realize that's the minority in this country? Yeah, most people grudgingly go to work.
You got that right.
But you and I know.
It's an honor to see the data and see how things unfold and study the data and look at the weather data.
Yeah.
So
to be able to formalize it in front of a mass audience.
Oh, yeah.
That's the icing on the cake,
I know.
Man.
Back before the internet, guys like you and I would pay to see the data, correct? Remember that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to pay services to get computer models, to get data from airports. You had to pay. Now it's free, so you just take it for granted. But
remember the daily weather map?
Yes.
Come from the U.S. government?
I patiently wait for that.
Yeah, it was a day old. It was a day old, but I got it. But that was so cool. But yeah, so it wasn't my decision to leave right then and there, but it came down to accepting the buyout. Me and a handful of other employers.
Right.
Employees.
And here we had a nice party for you. It was emotional.
Yeah, it was great. The turnout, and bang, it was over.
Yeah.
It was over.
And now
I'm
it's all.
I'm retired.
Yes.
It was kind of an amazing feeling.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I imagine, and I'm going to get to some questions here from people, that this is one. This is a good time to start, I think. This one person asks. Are you ready? Joe, it's great to see Tom again. He looks great, so they must have seen pictures of you. Ask him and Noreen how they like retirement, but this is the part that got me on this gentleman's question. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a woman, Pam. She said, I retired 2 years ago and wish I didn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
I I hear that from some people, but not most who have retired. I don't know whether they didn't like it because they were bored to death and they had nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like climbing the walls.
Yeah, I wonder that some people do that.
Yeah.
Not me. Oh, folks, did you hear that? That was a sincere, deep, passionate,
retirement is so nice.
It is.
You know, because first of all, I'm able to afford it with my investments.
Right.
You know, with the company here other things. And I'm always doing stuff.
Yeah. You're busy. And you're traveling.
I don't have to look at the clock on the wall every minute of the day. And I'm off the schedule. I'm off the grid. But I'm always busy doing stuff.
That's
I've
the key, right?
Bored.
Yeah, that's the
stay
key.
Stay active.
I will find this, though, and this is where I need advice from you. Let's say I take a week off from WNEP. As you know, I'm a biker, a hiker, a walker. I get out in the woods with my dog all the time.
Sure.
I find out that I find more pleasure in biking after I say I worked and now finally I have some free time to myself and now I can go for a bike ride. It means more than if I'm off a whole week, I'm almost like, oh. Biking's not such a big deal because I didn't do anything else all day, all week anyway, so what's the big deal? It's almost like you need pain to appreciate the joy, and work is that quote-unquote pain.
Yeah. Well, remember when I worked, how much you enjoyed a Saturday morning?
Yes, they
mean
more.
How much you enjoyed the
weekend. So if every day is Saturday, do you feel a little bit of that?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a little bit of that, right?
Some people say, you know, boy, I can't believe I had the time to do all the things I'm now doing in retirement. You know what I mean? Like, that's so true.
Okay.
Because I feel the same way. How did I ever have the time when I was working here?
Yes, to do all the things.
To do all the things I'm doing now.
Work got in the way.
Around the house, you know, traveling, doing stuff, projects. There's always something.
And
you didn't have time to do all that when you
worked here.
You
got it now.
And you have it now. So every day is kind of like Saturday.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And maybe it takes a little bit away, but if you keep busy and you keep the attitude, you got it.
That's
so
it. Yep.
That's excellent. All right. Well, how about this one? When is he coming back?
Oh. What time is it?
You will not be. People have asked me all the time, hey, fill in weekends. Why not? But no.
No, you know, Joe, the longer I'm away from it, the less desire I have to come
back in here and put
a show together.
Yeah.
No, I'm not coming back.
Ooh.
No, I'm not.
Ooh.
I'm not.
As you should not, because you're enjoying yourself, you're busy. Why put yourself through the regimen of a
But I appreciate the question.
How about this one? I know you're going to like this one, because I don't know the update on this one. He's been talking about it for years. Here we go. Ask him about his Corvette. Is there one?
You had to ask me. Oh, no.
You can decline.
I have bad news.
You can decline.
I don't have one yet. Not yet. No vet yet.
So
but it's coming. I still have the passion for Corvettes, and people ask me that, you know, and the time will come. You know how expensive they are,
I know. And he used to bring me brochures at work. We'd look them over. So that was 5-10 years ago, and you said maybe someday.
The older Stingrays.
Yeah.
Even the new ones are fabulous, but not yet.
It may happen? Is it in the realm of possibilities?
Yes.
How about this one? What is the quirkiest thing you have ever witnessed Fearless Joe do? I don't know if they mean me. Is there something that I did over the years that bothered you that, like, okay, Snedeker, he went to...
It never really bothered me, but... the time you took a dive or a swim in the pond in the backyard, I thought that was a little off the wall. God, the guy's in the water, man. That slimy, murky water. And I think it was probably about 20 degrees outside, too, at the time.
Well, I'll
but
say...
But, yeah, that was one of the things that kind of stick out.
Well, Tom, let me look at you in the eye and say, I'm sorry.
Okay, Joe, I'm sorry. Okay. I've gotten over it.
I think the filter got that busted from that accident. They repaired the filter and the liner.
You know, there are so many, Joe. There are so many of the addicts, but that one kind of stands out.
All right, maybe one of the last questions. Here we go. Please ask him if he finished. This is like a cliche question, but Noreen's honeydew list. Oh, does that still happen? The honeydew list from the
I hate that term.
But I know. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Because it portrays a woman as a nagger, and that's not true, right?
Yeah.
That's not true.
No, I mean, there are still things on that list. But I put things on that list, too.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, honeydew, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's always going to be the case.
and this isn't a question on here, but it just made me think of it because here's another thing. It could be my quirkiness and my issues, but there's times when I'm alone with my wife for a long period of time, whether it's a weekend, all week, right. on vacation,
yeah.
and I almost think, I love this girl. I want to be with her forever, but too much. Is yeah. there that in retirement? Like you're together too much? Is
yeah,
there...
it can be. You need to air out.
Yeah, right? You do. That's human yep. nature, I think.
If she wants to take a trip and visit family or friends.
See ya.
Yeah. Right? I let her go. I'm not going to hold her back. You kidding?
Yeah. I think yeah. time apart is necessary.
It is. It is. And as I mentioned, my mom is living with us now, too.
Okay, that's true.
So, it's good for Noreen to get away for a few days. Yep.
Yep.
Even myself, you know, when Noreen and I travel to see our daughter, who, by the way, now lives in Washington State.
Ooh.
In a town called Bellingham.
Bellingham, Washington State.
Yeah, yeah. She reinvented herself. She's no longer, well, she's still a meteorologist, but she's in real estate now.
Oh, okay.
So we'll fly out there, and Mom will go into an assisted living center for okay. a week or two. So things are working out. But, yeah, you need the space. You
yeah,
need the,
right.
You need the, a little bit of separation like that. Oh, yeah.
I've done this. I've come home from work, and I will hear my wife upstairs, and I'll be in the basement, and I hear her in the kitchen, like, moving dishes around and stuff. And I'll wait till the noise stops. Then I'll go up. Is that wrong of me, do you think? Meaning I wait for her to leave the kitchen.
Yeah.
then I feel it's safe for me to arrive.
Yeah, that's funny.
I need well, a cool down thing.
Yeah, those are little things you have to know how to do.
Then I'll arrive when I'm ready.
Like if Noreen's coming in
yeah.
And I'm in the house, I'll quick grab the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, yeah, you know? Pretend you're doing something.
Yeah. I've done that. Look what I'm doing. Yeah. And she'll actually walk in the door and I want her to see me vacuum. You know, little things like that.
I've done that a million times. Sometimes I look out the window, wait for my wife to come, then I see, and then I run and do the vacuum yeah. or wash the dishes or something.
Clean the mirror or something.
Like, hey, I've been doing this all day.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad
You know, today, honey, I emptied the dishwasher. You always look for points.
You know what? If you do stuff like that, that must mean it's okay for me to do stuff like that. Last question.
The marriage is good. Don't get me wrong. The marriage is good.
Feel free to not answer this, but are you planning to stick around Northeastern PA or maybe retirement somewhere south? Are you going to head south or move away or I don't know?
I think, Joe, Noreen and I do contemplate relocating someday to live closer to Kristen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Northwest, milder winters, as you know.
Yep.
Milder winters.
Yep. Yep. Different climate. Tolerable.
Yep.
Tends to be kind of cloudy and rainy, but not as much as people think. But yeah, I think, Joe, down the road, maybe a couple more years down the road, we will move,
ooh.
Relocate. But I love my house. I love where I live now.
Yeah.
I don't like to even entertain the thought of moving, but okay. she does. Noreen will move a lot sooner and quicker than I will. But I'm going to go with the flow. You know, when the time comes, it'll be right.
Okay. Yeah, you got to wait for that. It can't be forced, right?
No. But I think there's another chapter
yep.
to live. And to be closer to Kristen would just be the ultimate. That would be so nice.
That's an ultimate dad thing.
Because she's 3,000 miles away, you know?
Because dad is going to become granddad, perhaps, right?
Yeah, perhaps.
Whoa.
Hasn't happened yet, but I don't push the issue.
I love it. Yeah. Well, Tom Clark, my idol, my hero, my older brother, my guidance. I love this guy, folks.
Joe, thank you so much. I love you, man.
This was a great interview.
I miss you, but it's so good to see you and chat with you.
Well, let's do this. Let's put on our fake vacuum cleaner so Noreen thinks we're busy. Thanks, Tom. See
ya. Thanks, Joe. See ya.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
All right, folks, was that not greatness or what? I mean, the vacuum cleaner, he had me at the vacuum cleaner. Still loving that. There's honesty and purity from a great soul. So we thank Tom Clark for coming on in. Hope you enjoyed it. There's many more to come, folks. So we're going to have a lot of interesting interviews coming down your platform soon. You can go to Spotify, iTunes, WNEP.com. Tell your friends. Get everyone interested in this thing. Share it. Pass it on. Podcasting is cool. It sure makes driving easier or working out, etc. So I'm Joe Snedeker, also known as who? Mr. Curiosity, and we will see you next time.
Curiosity, what are you so curious about? Everything, Mr. Curiosity.